Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I come to work with two hands every day and I'm trying to bless somebody.
We better be in Florida. It better be sunny. And there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
You can get on a podcast. You can get online. You can argue with the clouds. You can argue with the Russian bots. Don't care.
Good morning. It's Thursday, September 22nd. Welcome to the podcast sponsored by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation, the makers of Leqvio and Clizarin. It's Stat Nerd Thursday, baby. You know what that means. The great Dalton Del Don is here, and we have a whole host of things to get to in today's show. But first, Dalton, we have to dive into the news, and I moved this up to the top because we do need to get your thoughts. How are you feeling, man? I know I asked you this when we talked earlier today. Like, how you doing, buddy? Not realizing that, oh, right, he's still got the damn Trey Lance picture behind him. So, Dalton, the 49ers issued a statement that Trey Lance underwent a successful operation on his fractured ankle. You may now issue a statement on the state of your feelings.
Yeah, where do I begin? I'm still sick to my stomach days later, ready to wake up from, tell me if this is a nightmare, man. Yeah, you said I commissioned this painting behind me. I switched my Twitter avatar, drafted him on nearly every fantasy team. We're season ticket holders. I've really never seen a player kind of scrutinize like Lance. So I just became like part of my family rooting for him. And man, it's obviously heartbreaking, really sad. I'm a grown man and shouldn't be so upset over an injury. But man, Trey Lance has started and finished four games now since 2019, I believe. And when the summer began, he was 21 years old. Kenny Pickett's 24 years old. He began as an unknown and he remains it. It sucks for obviously Lance, and yeah, it sucks for myself, and I'm still recovering, dude. I'm devastated.
Yeah, I get it, man. It really is terrible for the kid. I feel so bad for him, and I just, like, we're kind of in the wilderness already with Trey Lance because we have, like, we'll talk about it a lot in the off season. I'm sure, obviously, like, this will probably be the last time Trey Lance is really talked about in depth on this show until the season's over, whenever it ends for the Niners at this point, because I still think they can make they're still going to have a good year. It's still going to be a fun team, I think, to watch and root for. And we're going to talk about these guys here in a second. But, like, I'm willing to believe anything now with Lance, like, and what happens with this whole situation. So we'll see. And it really does suck. But in the meantime, Jimmy G is back. The 49ers have worked out, you know, quarterbacks like A.J. McCarron, Garrett Gilbert, Mike freaking Glennon, like, goofball central. They did that on Tuesday. But they're also, like, they're dealing with injuries too in the backfield. Rookie running back Tyrion Davis Price has a high ankle sprain. He's going to be out for a bit. You know, Marlon Mack is signed to the active roster. I mean, we know high ankle sprains can be absolute, like, season killers for guys, especially running back position, wide receiver position, et cetera. So Dalton, I mean, at least that, hey, that's a consistent theme. 49ers running backs are hurt. What a twist.
So for 49ers, they catch a huge break, how the Jimmy G situation played out. He was as good as gone. He'd even said his goodbyes. But having him back, the Niners' odds increased to win the Super Bowl after this week. You know, some treated that as a shot at Lance, but they looked really good and won a game. And that's what happens in season-long odds. But, I mean, their defense, if Hufanga and Kinlaw and Aaron Banks develop at guard, I mean, this team looks pretty loaded otherwise on their roster in a wide-open NFC. So as a Niners fan, I mean, it's just so fortunate that Jimmy G returned. But fantasy, I just, because Lance was such an unknown, I don't know if it's, I'm not going to make any definitive, it's good for Ayuk or Debo. The running backs just might be a problem for fantasy terms. I mean, yeah. I like Wilson and he's going to get some touchdowns, but man, the running backs just might not be very good. I mean, Jordan Mason easily had more juice than Davis Price, and I thought he was going to get the first crack, but I guess draft capital trumped that. But, and you look at Mason's player profiler and his workout metrics are not exciting to say the least, but I still think Mason should be absolutely rostered in all fantasy leagues, but this might just be a committee that doesn't help fantasy managers much. And last year, if it was any indication, the running back as a whole, they gained a full yard per carry when Lance was on the field compared to when Jimmy G was.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel a little bit better about Jeff Wilson today than I probably did going into week two, just because Trey Lance not going to be around to siphon goal line work off, even though Jimmy G did rush for a touchdown, and Tyrion Davis Price being removed from the equation. Like, they did give him a good bit of burn in week two. So I feel like Jeff Wilson's actually in a pretty decent spot. Like, I think I feel better about him. So if you did pick him up off waivers, I feel like you've got yourself a, I don't know, like a low end RB2, which, hey, nobody can be thumbing their nose at an RB2 at this point. But we do know that Debo is going to continue to get like a lot of rushing work. Frankly, I just think this offense is going to look an awful lot like it did in the back half of 2021. Like, again, whether you want to say it's good or bad for the pass catchers, I think is a totally different, you know, question, but at least it's a known like commodity of what we've got here with Jimmy G, and we know how this offense looks. And I like Trey Lance. I was a big, big Trey Lance guy and like really rooting for him. Not nearly as much as you were, but I was excited by the idea of Trey Lance. But there's no denying that it was the Seahawks, obviously, you know, that's a caveat to include here. But the offense just looked like it functioned smoother with Jimmy G back in there, because it's just like putting on an old pair of shorts, really.
Just the Lance thing real quick. I can't believe how this, the week one he has to play in a monsoon. It's a 10-day forecast in the Bay Area in week two, and the only 3-hour window it rains is during that Niner game, and he has to play without George Kittle versus both, and then he immediately suffers a season-ending injury, and I don't know what tendon disruption means, but I hope he's able to recover. Some reports saying he might even be ready by the end of the regular season, but man, I just hope it's not some injury that, you know, affects his running ability the rest of his career. But I'm with you on Wilson. He can also receive, and he should be the goal line back there. And Garoppolo is actually attacking deeper levels of the field, and there's some thought, you know, this Athletic article, that Garoppolo, when he first took over that first year in San Francisco, he was totally different than he had become the last couple seasons, and he did attack deeper down the field. Maybe the shoulder surgery is part of this equation. I don't know, but that's why I said I'm not making any declarative statements here if this is good or bad for the pass catchers here. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a world in which it's great news for them and Garoppolo starts throwing downfield more.
I agree with you, man, and I think you can't say enough for mindset about with players. You know, I think that there's a chance that Garoppolo just comes in here and, you know, says like F it and really just lays it all out. Cause like he has nothing to lose and really everything to gain at this point by this opportunity for his career going forward. Cause he's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. I mean, there's a chance that if he has a great season, leads 49. I mean, it could get complicated in San Francisco, like what they're going to do at the quarterback position, but either way, like he's set up now to really take his career to another level. So I think that's why watching him throw the ball down the field in week two is like, yeah, there's a chance this could be really interesting here for Jimmy G. But unless you got anything else in the Niners, we can move to the rest of the news before we jump into our stats.
That's all. Just get well soon, Lance. It sucks. But yeah, the locker room absolutely loves Jimmy G, and they're ready to move forward.
That's true. But that was apparent.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm sad. Yeah, that's all I got.
All right, well, let's bring Dalton's mood up here by talking about another strange operation in the Dallas Cowboys. Couple of notes here for them. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says that Dalton Schultz knee injury could keep him sidelined for only 1 week. Oh, wow. What a shock. Jerry Jones is optimistic about somebody's injury and giving them an aggressive timeline to return. Speaking of which, Michael Gallup, who obviously laughed off the fact that he was going to be ready in week one, quote, appears to be on track for some reps in week three against the Giants. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy said that Gallup is going to see a full slate of practice reps this week. Mike, they need Michael Gallup, like, period, I think, at this point. I think CeeDee Lamb, like, the disaster scenario that could have come for CeeDee Lamb's season, I think I'm feeling fine about that actually not being true at this point. Like, I think he's still, like, a back half wide receiver one CeeDee Lamb going forward, because Cooper Rush isn't, like, absolute trash. And if the offense gets Michael Gallup back, now they're, you know, they've got, I think I love Gallup. I think he's a great player, even if he's not 100% right now. He's a great player. Noah Brown shows some things in week two. CeeDee Lamb's rock and roll, and Dalton Schultz maybe back earlier than usual. Maybe Cowboys panic was a little too early.
Dude, I can't get away from this. The draft picks for Lance turned into Micah Parsons and Cole Strange. Parsons, is he having an okay season? Sorry. All right, enough of that. But yes. Oh, man. Yeah, that nice upset last week when everyone just thought that Cincinnati was gonna roll. But yeah, their defense is looking good. Yeah, stash Gallup if you can. Encouraging news on Prescott and Cooper Rush absolutely looked competent. So CeeDee Lamb should be in lineups with just more of a wide receiver three flex type expectation. But man, you can't deny those targets. What about Pollard? At what point though does that, I mean, actually become an actual volume flippany? Never? It's still never?
I think I was reading Andy Barron's stat tracker in his article today. And I think he wrote in there that Ezekiel Elliott's been credited with just one broken tackle all year. Zeke looked all right in week one, but I mean, yeah, dude, Pollard's just got juice. And like the role that I thought Pollard would have did not exist in week one. And I mean, he's never going to line up as a team slot receiver. Okay. Like anytime a quarterback, anytime a team says that, like that's never going to happen. But he did have a pretty key pass catching role. So I think I do think there is a chance that it happens more towards like the longer the season goes on. But you know, with Dallas, you can never be too sure.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But yeah, I definitely think Gallup is a great stash right now. All right, Cliff Kingsbury. Oh my God, Cliff Kingsbury, enough already. Said James Conner is day-to-day with his ankle injury. I added Darrell Williams in a couple of leagues just because he got a good bit of burn after Conner went out. But I'm not really banking on any of these backs to be like season savers or anything. And this was rather encouraging news on James Conner, who has a long injury history, but also has a long history of gutting it out through injuries as well.
Yeah, I was hoping Eno Benjamin would become the clear guy if Connor were to get hurt, stashed in places. But I guess the first clue should have been when Arizona kept five running backs on its roster. It looks like Darrell Williams and Benjamin would be an even split if Connor were out, so that you know just kills both their values. So yeah, you can stash them in deeper leagues. But unfortunately, it doesn't look like there's a big fantasy winner if Connor's unable to return. And hopefully Connor can return because he was being treated like a true workhorse, you know, when he's been on the field this season, and absolutely could be a top 15 fantasy back if healthy.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope he is back there sooner or later. Some Bucks news here. The NFL upheld a one-game suspension for Mike Evans. No kidding. Of course that was going to happen. The Bucks also signed wide receiver Cole Beasley to the team's practice squad. Dalton, I primarily put this on the outline because I want to have a conversation about the damn Bucks and the passing game. Like, I took Brady as my quarterback, like in a one QB league in a couple of spots, and dude, I don't want to start Tom Brady at all right now. The Bucks passing offense has been completely banged up. It's been completely disappointing so far through a couple of games. We know the offensive line also has injuries too, so I don't know, where are you at with Tampa Bay? I'm still excited about Mike Evans when he's playing, but he's not gonna play this week, so potentially tough matchup against Green Bay as well. I do not feel great, like, if Tom Brady is, and he is like my one QB in a one QB league, I feel pretty like I'm looking for an alternative right now at this point.
Yeah, I have him outside my top 12 this week. If you have a guy like Mariota, you could even talk yourself into. They're down their third. Wells went on the IR. They're down to their third left tackle. I thought Russell Gage was going to be productive in this system, but I think he's clearly just not right physically to go along with the rest of their receiving core. So I think Uncle Lenny Fournette is going to get all the touches this week, and promised touchdowns are coming too on Twitter. So I like him in this matchup, but I think it's going to be the Bucks are just going to win with defense and be low scoring games throughout the season, and that's just going to be mostly bad news for fantasy players. But yeah, when Evans is back, you know, I worried about the target share with you, but before, when he was on the field, you know, that game without Godwin, it jumped way up. So yeah, he's going to be productive. He's really missing time in which he could be really productive without Godwin and a banged up Julio and Gage.
Yeah. It looked like I was going to get an edge with Gabe Davis missing Monday Night Football and our Gabe Davis versus Mike Evans lunch bet. And now we both losing. I mean, honestly, Evans ended up losing a game and a damn half basically with that fight with Marshawn Lattimore. So that's going to be.
But who gets hurt in a walkthrough? Come on. I mean, what happened with Davis? I mean, I don't even know. I hope that's not serious, but man, weird.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see if he can suit up here in week three. Man, Steph Diggs, dude, how awesome was that? That was electric. What a guy. Him and Josh Allen, I think, have taken their game to another level. Like, watching that game back on, I know we talked about it with Austin yesterday on Eckler's Edge, but I feel like those two have taken their game to another level after going back and rewatching that game. Like, they have that mind meld now that I'm actually tempted to move Diggs ahead of Justin Jefferson as my wide receiver two for the rest of the season. But obviously, a three touchdown performance, some of that it was because Gabe Davis was not there.
Guess how many regular season wins in a row the Bills have won by double digits in the regular season wins. I'm not trying to trick you here. Regular season wins in a row have been by double digits.
Well, I mean, obviously it's 5?
20.
20? Wait, really?
20. 20. Their last 20 wins in the regular season have been by double digits, dude. Is that not wild?
I mean,
go check the math. I saw the tweet and I went and I looked at, maybe I missed something too, but that, yes. I mean, isn't that wild?
How many games did they win last year? Was it
They're losing or they're winning by double digits, apparently, the last year and a half. Because they're playing on a short week and they're laying six and it spreads like up to 6.5 some places, you know, against my undefeated Miami team. And I'm like, yeah, but Miami's going to, I can see why you'd want to lay the points. It's wild. Yeah. Buffalo looks amazing. Them and the Chiefs just look like two in separate classes, right? Or maybe you could even argue the Bills are in a separate class, maybe the best defense in the league too. So I guess you could.
That's what I would argue that. And I mean, just from an offensive perspective, I think the Chiefs offense is good. They have Mahomes. They'll be fine. But like, I mean, dude, they got MVS out there running wind sprints, you know, as their number one wide receiver, and the Bills have Stephon Diggs as their number one wide receiver.
Yeah, they just killed the team that won the Super Bowl and the team that was number one seed, too, by a crazy, outscored them by a crazy amount.
Yeah, talk about just playing a different sport. It's like whatever the Titans are doing and whatever the Bills are doing, that's two different sports as far as I'm concerned. So, I do agree that I think they're like a tier to themselves right now, Buffalo, which nobody's surprised about that. They were pretty much everybody's Super Bowl pick. To bring it back to the Tom Brady thing, would you rather start Tua against the Bills this week or Tom Brady?
I know Bills defense is tough and they've been very rough against fantasy QBs, but I have Tua comfortably ahead of them. I have him as my 10th because that's the highest over under by far. It's like 54. Yeah. That's going to push so much. They're the top. Both of those teams are in the top three and pass rate over expectation too. So maybe it will come with some turnovers or something in sacks, but yeah, Tua with the volume again, with those two receivers, apparently he worked on that arm strength in the off season. I mean, yeah, man, he's looking great. I have Tua in my top 10, easily Tua from you over Brady, easily. Those are going to be two totally different games. One's going to be a slugfest, low scoring. The other's going to be, hopefully, you know, a video game.
All right. Making a lineup change right now after Dalton said that. So that is good. That was definitely not just a personal question for me. No, but I agree with you, man. Even if the Bills defense is awesome and they've, you know, knocked around two really good teams here, I still think the Titans are a good team. They might not. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of questions about the Titans right now, but
Tannehill's on-off splits with AJ Brown are ugly for what it's worth. I do think Treylon Burks is sneakily going to be super productive down the stretch, but yeah, Tannehill's on-off splits with AJ Brown are downright scary.
Yeah, very scary. Which makes sense. AJ Brown's a really good receiver. I still think like Mike Vrabel probably looks in the mirror at like every night before he goes to bed, and he's just like, damn it, John Robinson. Like, because he, you know, what did he say? Like, as long as I'm the head coach of the Titans, AJ Brown will be on the Tennessee Titans. And like a week later, they trade him. I'm sure Mike Vrabel is still pissed about that. But, you know, everybody's got secrets in their heart of hearts. And I certainly think that's Mike Vrabel's. But it's just really hard to defend the Dolphins right now. So I agree. I'm going to over Brady. Like I said, that was a personal question. So moving on here to, I think this is the last thing we can hit on in news before we move to the stats here. Speaking on Monday, Ravens head coach John Harbaugh referred to running back J.K. Dobbins as week to week. I said this a lot this offseason, that this whole idea that the Ravens were going to become a run heavy team again, they were going to go back to their grind it out roots, was, you know, absolute BS because their running backs weren't healthy. When are we even going to see J.K. Dobbins, who, like, certainly, you know, and hey, J.K., do what you got to do, man. But like he was pretty aggressive on like social media refuting the reports, the negative reports about his health. But I mean, if he's still considered week to week, like, I mean, we might not see him till like week 4 or 5. At this point. And at that point, I think the Ravens probably stay as a pass leaning team because their pass offense looks awesome right now.
Well, Dobbins came out and said his injury was far more serious than was revealed. I guess he also tore his hamstring, meniscus, LCL, or basically every single part of his knee, it sounded like. And then there were rumors that he might have suffered a setback. So, yeah, this is frustrating. I don't think you can rely on a fantasy running back for Baltimore for the foreseeable future. I wouldn't plan on it for the next month or so. My guy Justice Hill looked like the clear best runner, but then I also saw some footage that he left a lot of yardage on the field as well. So, yeah, I would just avoid that situation altogether, unfortunately. But thankfully for the Ravens, Lamar Jackson looks great. And our guy, which we'll talk about later, Bateman, is developing into a true number one, and they don't need these running backs. But it is back-to-back years. They're like my 49ers. The Ravens just devastated with injuries and lacking any explosion at all from the running backs.
Yeah, like I think I said this with Scott a couple of weeks ago, the 2022 Ravens running backs are feeling an awful lot like the 2021 Ravens running backs, where you're like, it's dusty dudes and all that. So let's actually talk Rashad Bateman right now. We'll move into our stats section because he was the first guy I have on the list. And it is worth noting, as we are recording this, there's a report from Jamison Hensley that Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson is wearing a protective sleeve on his right arm in Wednesday's practice and did not throw a pass to receivers during media viewing. It's Wednesday. as we're taping this. So, you know, keep that in mind. Like, injury news is certainly not definitive, but just want to put that out there. Obviously, keep that in the back of your minds. But I'm with you, man. Rashad Bateman looks incredible. I mean, he looks... I've been a big Rashad Bateman fan since before he was drafted. So that, you know, whatever. But he looks way better than he has on film at any point in 2020 or 2021 because he's 100% healthy. You know, this is something that people forget about. But, you know, in his final year at college in 2020, he was playing kind of more of like a big slot receiver role and was out of shape because he had a really bad case of COVID, missed time with all that. And obviously the season was a nightmare for Minnesota just because of that. And then in 2021, he got hurt in training camp and then was kind of off and on the field every now and again. But even if he had like some minor injury stuff this offseason, like, he's the healthiest right now I think he's been since 2019. And he looks like a dominant X receiver. But Dalton, there are some people still out there freaking out about his playing time. 62.6% of the snaps through 2 weeks. He's only run a route on 73% of Lamar's dropbacks. He does have a 29% share of the air yards, but only 20% share of the targets. He's really making it through efficiency right now with 16 yards after catch per reception, 16 air yards per target. So there are some people out there asking, like, is Rashad Bateman a sell high? Can I count on this efficiency holding up? How do you respond to those concerns?
Yeah, as someone who I wanted to brag about, only one person apparently had to look this up, had him ranked higher among the 200 rankers on Fantasy Pro than I had Bateman. Very much thanks to you, though. I was sold on him. And don't worry, I'm not just bragging. We're going to get to my Elijah Moore ranking here soon enough.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
But, I mean, the first game, they had a big lead on the Jets. Weren't really throwing much in the second half. But, yeah, you'd like to see more volume. But he's he just looks like the real deal. And there's few options there. I mean, Duvernay came with those two touchdowns in week one, and there's really Mark Andrews competition, and then it's Bateman, and on a team with bad running backs. So, and Jackson looks great in a contract year, and maybe not even wants to run as much. So, I mean, no. It's wheels up, and I'm not looking to try to trade him in fantasy leagues. I'm looking for people who are not buying this this start and worried about the volume and trading for him.
Yeah, completely. Completely agree with you on that. I completely agree with everything you just said. And the thing about Bateman and this whole playing time worry is, like, when you actually watch the games, especially against Miami, like, when they got down to the 1 yard line, even when they pass the ball, it's all tight ends. There was a couple times in week one too where DeMarcus Robinson was out there as the primary blocking receiver in like 13 personnel when they go with three tight ends on the field. So I think that's why the snap rate is really low. And just the reality is, like, if they want to be a good team, they're going to get this guy on the field because he looks incredible right now. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Rashad Bateman at all. I'm with you that I think he is a buy much more than he is a sell right now. I'm looking at a video now on Twitter about Lamar Jackson, you know, with this, like, extra padding around the right elbow. So, I don't know. I don't know.
Well, that would be not great. Yeah, that's a whole nother. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So keep an eye. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep you up to date with the latest news and all that stuff. All right. Next set of stats here. Let's talk about some end zone target leaders. And this is where we can talk about Elijah Moore, because there are four guys right now with five end zone targets. Three of them you'd expect: Davante Adams, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase. Fourth one, Garrett Wilson, the rookie wide receiver from the New York Jets. Dalton, my level of panic on Elijah Moore is a stone cold zero, because I think he's still an awesome player. He's run a route on 94% of the dropbacks. He's getting open. I've charted both the games. I'm doing a lot of in-season work on this right now. So I feel really good about Elijah Moore as a player. Not worried about that. What I can say for sure, though, also, is that Garrett Wilson is the real damn deal. That guy is a potential star in the making for sure.
All right, so I'm looking here to confirm, and I did indeed rank Elijah Moore the highest among the 200-plus fantasy rankers entering.
Where did you
season.
Have him again?
In my wide receiver 14, and his ECR was 32. He went some, lose some. Bateman, and we'll talk. I was the second highest on Amon-Ra St. Brown. So again,
there you go.
Win some, lose some. Elijah Moore.
Hey, when you take big swings, baby, like, that's how it's gonna work. Like, sometimes you land the guy like Amon-Ra St. Brown. I don't think all hope is lost for Elijah Moore either.
So I was originally down on him, thinking that they drafted a wide receiver early. There's Corey Davis. There's Berrios and Corey Davis are sneaky target hogs. There's a gigantic quarterback problem. I was not a Zach Wilson guy, but I totally fell for the preseason hype. He was out there looking like a young Antonio Brown again, and I just fell for it. But it was more to it than just that. Like, guys I trust, the college people. As an 18-year-old, Elijah Moore was on a team with A.J. Brown, and he demanded more targets than D.K. Metcalf. He was on a team with Brown and Metcalf as an 18-year-old, and he had a higher target rate than Metcalf. But it's undeniable that Garrett Wilson is the real deal on the same amount of routes together this season. It's 21 targets to 9. It's 225 air yards to 75. The rookie I ranked higher this week after two games of visual evidence. Wilson's even getting the slot work, right? So,
yep.
Yeah, I think I copped out and ranked him close together. But, yeah, man, I was the guy bidding 45%, 55%. And my fab budget in leagues to get Wilson. I mean, the waiver wire is barren this week. I mean, if you're in a super flex, Jimmy G, go all out. But Garrett Wilson looks great. I look wrong, and he looks like a home run. And now Moore's just going to have his spike weeks, but certainly nowhere near what I expected.
Yeah, the spike weeks will absolutely be there. So a couple things on this with Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore. Number one, what I really got wrong, because I loved Garrett Wilson as a prospect. Like, his perception eval is, you know, off the charts, totally green route tree, guy gets open at all levels of the field. I think I said this to Andy. I was like, basically, you know, how everybody gets juiced about Kadarius Toney as a player in the open field. Like, Garrett Wilson is that guy in the open field, but he can actually run real NFL routes and he can make, you know, contested catches, stuff like that. So he looks like a future star. But I actually did think that the Jets were going to bring him along slowly because they brought back Braxton Berrios. They brought, Corey Davis still in the fold. And, like, Elijah Moore has had the role that I thought he was going to have. It's just that, like, Garrett Wilson has basically pushed Braxton Berrios to the bench as the slot receiver. And so he's gotten much more playing time than I thought he would to start the year. I agree with you that the biggest difference between these two guys right now is that Garrett Wilson is getting all the layup work, man. Like, he's been working out of the slot. He's getting, like, those quick targets, these quick targets in the red zone as well, in the end zone, which is why he's up here with these other guys. And Elijah Moore is running as, like, the pure X receiver, running, like, deep outbreaking routes along the sideline, outside the numbers stuff. That's the biggest thing that I think has closed the gap for me. It's not about talent. It is about, like, the way these guys are deployed. One of those is going to lead to, just think about it as like the Coop, like what Cooper Kupp does in the Rams offense, and then what Allen Robinson does in the Rams offense is the outside ISO X receiver. Like, there's a reason, besides like ability and all that stuff, but there's a reason that like Matthew Stafford targets the hell out of Cooper Kupp because he's like always open on those layup routes. That's going to be what Garrett Wilson's doing, and then Elijah Moore is going to do the, you know, field stretching stuff, which is going to lead to more volatile production.
Well, it'd be poetic justice, a little irony in there, if Zach Wilson comes back and saves my Elijah Moore fantasy season, because that would be the opposite of what I expected. But who knows what the new quarterback does, eventually re-enter the mix here. Yeah, exactly. But no question, Garrett Wilson looks eye-opening. There's some rookies, just Olave and Drake London. I mean, they just look like immediate fantasy and real-life impacts.
Yeah, let's talk Drake London here, because we're going to move to the next one, the next stat I have here. Top five target share wide receivers. The aforementioned Cooper Kupp, the aforementioned A.J. Brown we talked about earlier. The next two guys are interesting. Obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then Drake London, number five on the list, is Stephon Diggs. Amon-Ra St. Brown, let's talk about him first. Like, I've moved him now to my, you know, number 10 receiver rest of season. Sound right? Sound right to you?
Oh, yeah. At worst, especially in full PPR. Yeah. I'm on board. You can't deny it, man. Tied the record for most games in a row with 8+ catches. And I mean, DeAndre Swift's not getting targeted. Man. I mean, maybe, yes, he's right there with the elites. You could put him right there in that same tier, with the others almost.
Dude, I don't want to make like another big wide ranging point here, but this archetype of wide receivers, like, we have to start paying more attention to these guys. We have to start like giving these guys more credit. Like, I feel like everybody talked about Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, here's my theory, Dalton. Like, if Amon-Ra St. Brown had come out and been like, obviously if he'd been a higher draft pick, that would have helped too. But like, if he had been a guy that was, you know, running deep routes, was running like running out as a pure X receiver, like doing more of those like traditional number one things, I feel like people probably wouldn't have gotten so in their head about like, well, all these other guys were missing stuff like that. So that's why this day three, you know, slot receiver got pummeled with targets. But it's like number one receivers now, like if you're the Jets and you love Garrett Wilson, and it's clear that obviously they do, and he can do things that Elijah Moore can't do, Garrett Wilson, like why would you not throw him in the slot? Why would you not throw him in this like super, you know, layup driven role? Because like as a defense, how do you take away Amon-Ra St. Brown? How do you take away guys that are lining up in the slot like this? You really can't. So like for fantasy, these guys like St. Brown, even Christian Kirk to an extent, and now Garrett Wilson seems to be playing this position, they're going to line up inside. Like these are the guys you want to draft. Like we have to get our heads around that at this point.
Yeah, I know. St. Brown's my number six receiver this week. I looked. I mean, playing indoors with a quarterback who loves him and their bad defense, but an awesome offensive line. I mean, it's, and Chark running those, like, you know, just clear out routes is kind of a perfect setup, frankly.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to be playing from behind in these carnival games, they're number one, by the way, in neutral pace situations right now. So, I mean, yeah, St. Brown. I am happy to report I was, the second highest in my draft at my wide receiver 16 entering the year. But what might have cost me is having Elijah Moore one slight higher if that cost me in a couple leagues making that decision. What a mistake that was. Hopefully in the PPR ones, I went with St. Brown because this ranks for half PPR. But man, what a slot machine. I mean, he's just been awesome. And I see zero reason for it to slow down. I really think he's even getting carries. I just think, as you said, how he's being used is just very repeatable.
Yeah, any of these guys that are going to, you know, filter into that role, I think Sky Moore could potentially be that guy for the Chiefs at some point down the line. Like, that's a guy to watch out for. These are the players that we just want to make bets on, like that are running these type of routes, that are running these type of layup targets, stuff like that. Yeah, and Garrett Wilson seems to be the next guy, just to kind of connect those things together. DJ Chark does have four end zone targets, which is interesting. I keep forgetting that this team drafted a first round wide receiver, right? Like they've got reinforcements coming at some point. Who knows when Jameson Williams is going to take the field, whatever. But yeah, the Lions are, I mean, they're like the perfect fantasy team because their defense isn't that good. I mean, they Aiden Hutchinson made some plays against Washington, whatever. But man, at some point, is TJ Hockenson even going to do something? I don't know. But it's looking like a pretty perfect setup there in Detroit for all the fantasy options.
Yeah, Goff, $20 minimum in Yahoo DFS this week in this setup. Once again, he should be playing from behind. You know the Vikings are going to come back and score points after that performance too. So this is just another total carnival setup for the second half for Goff and company.
Oh, you love to see it. All right, let's talk about Drake London though. Rest of season rankings. Drake London, where are we at?
Oh man. I have him as my wide receiver 18 this week. I mean, it's really hard to deny what he's doing. I mean, top five in target share, top 10 in yards per out run while facing the Saints and the Rams, led the league in first down target percentage last week. First down targets are worth like 20% more in PPR leagues. I get it. Kyle Pitts is eventually going to blow up, I think, one of these games, but man, I mean, I like the matchup this week, a pass funnel D in Seattle. So I'm ranking him high this weekend moving forward. And I don't think I'm just chasing the stats. I mean, you look at that volume. It's hard to deny and super impressive given Atlanta's run-heavy tendencies and the fact he sat out all his summer with this injury. And I didn't even return to practice until like 2 days before the season opener. Wow, I love the Drake, man. I mean, he looks awesome.
Yeah, let me tell you, I've charted his first two games too for reception. That guy is so, so good. I mean, he looks incredible. He's like, he's so young too, man. That's what's crazy. I really think the sky's the limit for him. I don't want to get like too hot takey just because Marcus Mariota's his quarterback, but like if he has a Jamar Chase type of rookie season or a Justin Jefferson type of rookie season, I wouldn't be surprised. I think Marcus Mariota, who like is fine for fantasy, but there's just clearly plays being left on the field there with Mariota. You know, we might get Ridder at some point, which is I don't know that that's like a win though for these guys. Like, I'm not sure about Desmond Ridder. I'm hoping to be wrong about that, but I feel like I'm still a little, we'll see. Like, rookie quarterback, third round guy. I don't know if he's going to necessarily be better than Marcus Mariota right from the jump. I do want to talk about Kyle Pitts, though, because I've got Kyle Pitts thoughts as it relates to Drake London, but that he is easily the guy that people are, I would probably say that, you know, the early round draft picks that, you know, aren't hurt or anything like that, I think the most fantasy panic right now has to be on Kyle Pitts. So where are you at with Pitts right now?
First of all, I'm old enough to remember when Mike Williams busted out of USC. What's up with the USC receivers? I mean, St. Brown, even Pittman and and London. Pretty crazy. All right. So who did you ask me on about now?
Kyle Pitts. I feel like Kyle Pitts, is
the
guy
meant
that,
to. I probably subconsciously wanted to avoid this question because, I was in on him, hyping him again, and it's just so frustrating. Arthur Smith saying this isn't fantasy football. Well, you're also losing in NFL football. It's crazy that he could figure out how to get properly use Cordero Patterson for the first coach of his career, but then he can't figure out this monster in Pitts. But I mean, Drake London is a problem for Pitts' fantasy value moving forward. He's been blocking at a much higher rate than he did his rookie year. The guy is still going to be a top five fantasy tight end because if no other reason, the position is bad. But yeah, man, where's the volume? Come on, man. Let's do it. I'm tired of the excuses. He's had two very tough matchups, the first two, but yeah, I'm as tired of the excuses as anyone. And I'm, always defending him. I mean, Pitts is going to have some monster games. They're sure to come, but in a run first offense now with a legit wide receiver one in London, maybe we need to change our expectations for this season.
Yeah, there's a couple things here. For one, Kyle Pitts has the role that we want. Like, you're right, he's been pass blocking more, but it's not like detrimentally more. I think it's fine from like where you'd want, because he is playing legit tight end this year. Like, because they have Drake London, they don't have to do that goofy stuff of like having him be the number one outside receiver. Kyle Pitts right now, 31.3% of his snaps have been out wide this year. That's like way down from what it was last year. He's been in the slot on 32%, and obviously the rest of it he's been as an inline tight end or in motion pre-snap. He does have 80 unrealized air yards, which is the most on the Falcons by a pretty good gap, actually. So I'm just looking at unrealized air yards throughout the entire league right now. Yeah, he's number nine right now in unrealized air yards. So there's certainly the blow up games are going to come. The thing I've been thinking to myself and going back and forth on here with Drake London and Kyle Pitts, like, everybody keeps criticizing Arthur Smith. And I think Arthur Smith deserves some criticism. Obviously, he says the fantasy football thing, and then every knucklehead on fantasy Twitter is going to come out with their pitchfork or whatever. Like, what he's trying to say there. But like, why? Everybody's like, you're not scheming targets to your best player. Well, he is scheming targets to his best player. The best player is Drake London. It's not Kyle Pitts. Like, period. I think we can already say that. Even if Kyle Pitts is a unicorn of a tight end, he's still a tight end. Drake London is an alpha wide receiver, and I think that's why this is going to continue.
Yeah, no argument here. Top five in target share and in yards per route run right away against that competition. Yeah. One thing I'll say about the quarterback, I think I would personally way prefer this version of Mariota than a rookie taking over in the final month. I absolutely would rather this floor of Mariota than an unknown rookie taking over if I'm fantasy manager of London or Pitts, personally.
So buy, sell, or hold on Kyle Pitts rest of the way.
Oh man, I guess hold. I mean, it just depends on what league you're in and the market, but it's more of a hold. I mean, you certainly can't sell now, but yeah, the Drake London thing is real. So, I mean, yeah, I think you have to reevaluate or reassess your preseason expectations, or certainly those who had high ones like myself, mistakenly maybe.
Yeah. Fair enough. I feel like every fantasy analyst was in on Kyle Pitts, so I don't think you should feel too bad about that one. All right, Dalton and I are going to talk about potentially the next breakout rookie wide receiver right after this quick break. All right, we're back, and as promised, let's talk Chris Olave here, Dalton, because the leader in the NFL in air yards and unrealized air yards is indeed Chris Olave. He's seventh in the NFL in air yard share with 45% right now. I'm getting pretty gassed up about Chris Olave, but because I loved him as a prospect. Like, I think he and Garrett Wilson for me were like 2-3, put him behind Drake London. One of those guys, like either one of them could be my second receiver. I liked both of them a ton, obviously out of Ohio State. Different type of players. I think Chris Olave is more of a traditional vertical separator, whereas Garrett Wilson's like that freaky layup slot receiver like we talked about. But am I getting a little too ahead of myself with Chris Olave here, because Jameis Winston has like four fractured vertebrae in his back or something, anyways, he's got a back thing going on. And as I say, ain't nobody used to have a bad back. So I'm a little concerned about that the rest of the season. Am I getting too ahead of myself here with Chris Olave?
I am concerned about Winston, but at least they have Andy Dalton, the competent backup there. But yeah, there are worse backups at least. But yeah, yes, the quarterback situation is definitely a concern, as are Landry and Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara eventually returns. But I ranked Olave as a wide receiver 3 in fantasy terms after last week's eye-opening performance, in which he saw, I think, twice as many air yards as the next highest of the week. I know there some were prayer yards just thrown up by Winston. But still, man, he was a ton of targets, too. So, yeah, playing indoors. And he's, as you said, you loved him as a prospect, too. So, yeah, I'm as a wide receiver 3. And frankly, I mean, Michael Thomas could suffer an injury. It wouldn't surprise no one soon. And he could just suddenly become a target hog, too. So a lot of upside, too. So, yeah, I'm with you on Olave, man. These rookie wide receivers, a lot to be excited about.
And I think Jarvis Landry's week 1 was definitely a fluke. Like, I mean, his week 2 role, I think, is much more what we can expect. Olave ran more routes, etc. Like, I think that just is what we're going to see going forward. You know, the Panthers this week, oh my God, I saw a stat on Matt Rhule with the Carolina Panthers. I'm pretty sure he's like, I'm going to mess it up, but I'm pretty sure he's like 1-18 or 1-17 against when the opposing team scores more than 17 points. That's who Chris Olave and the Saints are playing in week number 3 here. So I'm pretty all in on all my Saints.
You know, Carolina's quietly allowed the fewest YPA, just 4.4 through 2 games. Just 2 games, but for what it's worth, their defense has allowed the fewest yards per pass attempt by far.
Well, I guess in order for the Panthers to win, they have to be really great defensively, because if the opposing team scores more than 17 points, then they lose.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I know there are problems in Carolina for sure.
Yeah, I'd say so. Oh my, I'm curious if there is one human being on planet Earth that is like still optimistic about Matt Rhule, or thinks like Matt Rhule should be the coach of the Panthers. I wonder if Matt Rhule even feels that way sometimes. we'll leave it at that. Couple other stat notes here before we preview Thursday Night Football. Oh boy, what a barn burner. Are we underrating Miles Sanders? We did a video segment this morning, Dalton, where I talked about him. I kind of feel like it's going under the radar that Miles Sanders is getting some pretty awesome usage. He's 7th in the NFL in yards after contact per rush, so he's playing really well. He's got 35 touches to his name through 2 weeks, and he has 3 goal line carries, too. That's not the usage we'd really think he was going to have. And, like, the only other guys who have more than him at this point are Jamal Williams and Antonio Gibson. A couple of luminaries there, but I feel like Miles Sanders actually makes for a sneaky fantasy buy, because he's probably the cheapest way to get some exposure to an awesome Eagles offense with Jalen Hurts clearly taking yet another step as a player.
I think it's 35 touches already, Sanders. Yeah, he may leave the field on third downs for Gainwell, but yeah, if he gets goal line work with that awesome offensive line, a team, the defense looks great. They're going to be playing with leads. I think Miles Sanders is like top 3 all time in yards per carry if he qualified. So yeah, looks like fantasy managers, myself included, underrated him at draft tables. Looks like a top 20, maybe even top 15, because running back sucks so much. If he can hopefully stay healthy. And man, Hurts, dude, I'm just really upset at myself that I made these. I bet on the Eagles, first of all, to win the Super Bowl. I should have been on the NFC. And Hurst is just right there for the taking. I have my number 2 fantasy QB. My theory on betting on Lance and Cousins were just, it's like all quarterback winners of teams that are first or second in the conference. And Hurts was long odds, and here he is. And suddenly now he's like 3rd in the MVP voting. So very frustrated at myself for just completely missing something I should have been all over. So yeah, he looks great, man.
Those Jalen Hurts for MVP tickets, those from like the summer, those are going to be print.
That's what I'm saying.
Potentially, yeah, print fest, man. So, yeah.
That's, you know who leads the NFL in rushing just through 2 weeks?
Who?
Jalen Barkley. Hurts? Come on. Barkley. No, I'm just saying Barkley. Speaking of season bets here.
Yeah, oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Rushing title. Rushing title.
Saquon Barkley. Yeah, man. I mean, you've taken your victory lap, and you should keep taking your victory lap for Saquon Barkley, bro, because, I mean, like he ended up being, I think I'm going to be right on Aaron Jones in the long term, but I kept saying Aaron Jones is the second round pick, the perfect second round pick, which, by the way, you could get Stephon Diggs in the second round a couple times. Oh my God. Leagues. Man. Yeah. Oof.
I just wanted to say the Barkley thing, because I was surprised that he was still leading when it looked like he didn't get a yard last week. Sorry. That just surprised me, because it really looked like he was still getting stuffed as we speak.
The perfect second round pick was indeed Saquon Barkley. He actually leads the NFL in total yards with 236. Nick Chubb, by the way, number 2 So shout out to Nick Chubb. The Browns have certainly not been, I've definitely faded Nick Chubb in pretty much almost every spot. Unless he fell to me, he did fall to me, I think, in the Apex Writers League, I think is the one league that I have him in, but that's only cause he fell, man. Like, and I was not gassed up to take Nick Chubb, but he's been great in fantasy so far. Last guy we'll talk about here, dude, Derrick Henry. I saw this is, again, credit to Andy Behrens from his StatPak article. Derrick Henry has gained 101 yards after contact so far in his 34 carries, according to PFF. Andy says that's a notable figure because he's only actually rushed for 107 total yards. Taylor Lewan might be out for the rest of the season, their left tackle. Dude, that Titans offense, like I said at the top, okay, the Bills beat two pretty good teams. I don't know how good of a team the Titans are. And I mean, Derrick Henry... I love Derrick Henry, man. He's 17th in the NFL in total yards with those 107 yards. Yeah, dude, I feel I am. If I have Derrick Henry on a fantasy team and I don't have him on any team, I'm feeling pretty freaked out about the way the rest of the season is going to look like.
Yeah, the last 3 years entering the season, his PPR point scoring it dropped like 33% in losses, and the Titans do not look like a great team. He came off the field in third downs even without Hilliard. On Monday night. Playing with the plate and screws in his foot with all that mileage. So it doesn't look great. You mentioned the injuries, the offensive line. Todd Downing looks like a disaster at offensive coordinator. It's not great if you have Derrick Henry on your fantasy team. Things will get better. That was a tough matchup against the Bills. Super tough, and a playing from behind. But it's going to be a tougher battle for him, certainly game script-wise this season.
Bottom six guys in yards before contact per rush attempt here. Cam Akers, LOL, minus 0.22 yards before contact per rush. Rashad Penny, Oh my God, Cam Akers is so far below everybody else. 0.06 yards. Derrick Henry's third at 0.12 yards before contact per rush attempt. Then Rex Burkhead, Tyrion Davis-Price, and Austin Eckler. Sixth from the bottom, as we discussed yesterday. The Chargers running game has not quite popped off yet, but I think there's a lot of hope for Eckler with the rest of the way. But dude, Derrick Henry, he's a guy that, like, if I had him on a team, I would think about, like, it might be like a sell low moment, but like,
yeah,
it might
low.
Be a,
with you
get out before it gets worse, honestly. And I feel terrible. I love Derrick Henry. He's a great dude and everything, but this just I'm pretty freaked out about the ecosystem that he is in right now.
And then just one thing to final add on that. If you're in a deeper league, certainly a super flex league, with the way this season's going, Malik Willis is going to be money come fantasy playoff time, because he's going to run and be an immediately QB top 12 fantasy terms. And it looks more and more likely that that's going to be an audition this season.
I think so too. I think we'll see more. We already saw Malik Willis. By the way, that's going to, I know that there's obviously some hope for Treylon Burks, and Burks, hey, just have him run slants and crosses against zone coverage and he'll be fine. And that might be literally all he can do right now. Like, every time somebody shows a big play of Treylon Burks, like, get this guy the ball more, it's always the same freaking route, which is fine. That's like, just, but you can get him on the field doing that. It's, I don't know, man. If Malik Willis takes over, it's like, I don't know how gassed up we should be about any of these guys in this offense. I mean, not that anybody's gassed up about anyone at this point. So not great. Not great for the Titans. That is for sure. All right. Thursday night football here. Oh boy, what a game. Steelers at Browns. The Browns are 4.5-point favorite. The over under is 38.5. Dalton, how much longer can the Steelers run Mitch Trubisky out as a starter?
Yeah, good question. Not much longer. I feel like it's ugly. And Pickett, as I 24 years old, let's see what he can do. I mean, all these empty targets for Johnson and these receivers. I mean, I'd love to see Pickens out there, you know, playing the snaps, but hopefully soon they make the switch here, because what are they doing with Trubisky? It seemed like a loyal franchise and they promised him, a chance of the starting role. But it has not been pretty at all. It's just been more of the same, frankly. It just looks like Big Ben, an older Big Ben back there throwing the ball in the grass.
Yeah, it's rough, man. I think the worst part about it, too, is that, you know, Dave Kluge shared I don't know why he did this. I don't know why you would want to do this to yourself as a Bears fan, but like posted a video like six, you know, however many years ago it was on today, that Mitch Trubisky had that like six touchdown game against the Bucks. And, you know, I watched the clip of it too. And I'm like, man, Trubisky is like flinging that thing downfield. You know, like he's playing with some aggression he's just not playing like that anymore at this point. Like, he looks like a guy out there that's afraid to make a mistake because he knows that, like, the next mistake could be his last type of thing. Like, sometimes we talked about with Jimmy G earlier, like, sometimes guys get that like second chance, they get another chance to be a starter, and they just go out there with like reckless abandon and lay it all out on the line and like whatever. Trubisky looks like this. He's like, I know this is my audition to like get my career back on track, and he doesn't want to mess it up. That's how this offense looks right now. I mean, Diontae Johnson is probably the only guy you can play from the Pittsburgh passing game with any confidence, because he's, you know, just getting like alpha level work, alpha level air yards, target share, whatever. Like, Claypool and Pickens, I think, are guys you can drop and feel fine about it, unless Pickett takes over and looks really, really good.
Yeah, right. Pickens just depends on the size of your league, for sure, because he could. If he suddenly starts getting the targets, he'll be like one of the guys everyone rushing to pick up. But as of now, he's useless. Freiermuth would be my only pushback, because tight end is just so bad. And he is getting the targets. I have him like as my ninth tight end. But man, tight end is just so bad. But yeah, this is like the opposite of last week's Thursday night game. Don't expect much. Some injuries. I guess Myles Garrett now might be expected to play, but yeah, this is so last week I had a 17 parlay and the only loss was a Browns money line, so but that just took a back seat compared to my Trey Lance. But I'm just thinking, having flashbacks of the Browns, they're tempting in Survivor in a week that no team is more than 7 points. Harmon, last week it could have been a total epic disaster for me if my Survivor $6 million entry was on the Broncos. If that ended too, let me tell you, watching Nate Hackett took off multiple years of my life, I can't even begin to describe the ups and downs of that. While they were both afternoon games, Trey Lance carted off, and then watching Hackett with my Survivor life was just quite the sequence of events. But where were we? The Browns. Can they?
Sorry, can I read off this? Because I had this from for Eckler yesterday. We were talking about the Broncos, but he was really kind of like wanting to give it some time, whatever. So I didn't read this off, but I have to read this off. This stretch that the Broncos had, I'm sure you watched it. 4 minutes remaining in the third quarter, Broncos trail the Texans, Dalton Del Don's Houston Texans, by 9-6. Denver went from a third and one. It was a close one too. They call a damn tight end sweep rush attempt.
Andrew Beck,
give me a break. Then suddenly they have a long field goal, indecision, delay of game, and then they had to punt it. I mean, that is one of the all-time worst stretches I can remember for a team. It's just, I had to read that off because I found that note yesterday while doing some Broncos research, and that is just absurd.
Yeah, McManus easily made the kick too, and it would have been 5 yards longer. He could have done there. Yeah. I mean, the crowd was chanting the play clock down because the team had ran out of timeouts with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, the home team. Yeah, it would have been that would have been bad if my Texans had knocked me out. But yeah, that was brutal watching Hackett, man. That guy has a few things to learn on his in-game decision-making. But do you think the Browns, would you trust them in a week with no sure things at all? Not that there's any week of sure things in the NFL, but with no favorites by more than 7 points on a Thursday night, you know, coming off that disaster, or no way? I mean, they're the Browns, and this is going to be a divisional close game, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've beaten the Panthers and lost to the Jets in 2 weeks. Like, That doesn't make me feel great. I don't love Jacoby Brissett going against his defense because, you know, all things considered, this defense still looks really good. Mac Jones was trying to throw a few more picks than he did against this team on Sunday. So, yeah, I don't know, buddy. I'm not trying to have you come on the podcast next week and have lost your Survivor ticket to the Jacoby Brissett-led Browns.
I'm not using the Browns, but it's just something when you're like, I have Nick Chubb ranked as my top five running back. Their defense is my number one defense of the week. So it's just something to think about. But no, you're right. I'm not doing that with a divisional game. Will probably be close. Not that I care about that in Survivor. You just remember the divisional ones more. Obviously, all that's priced in. But fantasy terms, Nick Chubb and then our Yahoo DFS. I mean, he's the guy here. I mean, he's the superstar. And Najee Harris, what's your level of concern with him season long? I mean, the volume remains, but the quarterback situation, the shakiness remains as well, and just battling through that foot injury. I mean, you have to rank him, you know, in the 12th to 18th area, but man, you're not happy if you drafted him early.
No, you're not. He's a guy that, like, I've been just dropping down the rankings every single week. Like, I think I was, like I said, totally out on Nick Chubb. I feel like I might rather have Nick Chubb the rest of the season than Najee Harris. Yeah,
I would. Fantasy playoffs, you have Deshaun Watson there too with that offensive line. Nick Chubb is so good. If he starts getting the goal line carries, that's what was key, you know, the three touchdowns last week. And if you don't give those to Hunt, then yeah, he doesn't even need the targets. I mean, he's an argument. He's the best running back in football.
Yeah, and Brissett has been like whatever. He's been about what you'd expect so far. The thing that has been a little disappointing is the defense, actually. I think the Browns' defense hasn't been quite as good. Like, their communication issues on the back end are pretty problematic, but they still have Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett when healthy up front. Like, they'll be all right. So, man, I don't know. This game's going to be rough to watch. Luckily, I feel like from a fantasy angle, we know who to start. Like, last question here on the Browns. I feel like David Njoku is firmly out of the circle of trust. Like, he's a guy you're probably dropping for other players at this point at tight end, which good luck with that. You knew what you're getting into with the David Njoku business, that you might be looking for another option around week three. But Amari Cooper, is he back in the circle of trust after a pretty awesome game against the Jets? But I mean, my thing with Amari Cooper is that he's a volatile player, a volatile producer. And like, he has the week one game and then the week two game. And that kind of looks like the Amari Cooper show, I think.
I like how you're taking a shot at yourself and myself there with Njoku.
Yes.
Didn't we both have him ranked disgustingly high?
Yes, I mean, we did.
Oh, bad, man. You know who's the best tight end pick right now, it looks like, is Tyler Higbee. I mean, is he going to be the number pass catcher on the Rams and just be a top three? I mean, who's going to score more fantasy points this week, him or Pitts? I mean, I think he has a higher floor right now. I mean, it's crazy. Oh, Cooper, yeah, went from... We talked about his lack of target share throughout his career, and then he suddenly, you know, week two, he just really dominated. So nice to see him. And Peoples-Jones took a step, a back seat. So, yeah, Cooper is now back to a wide receiver three type area with Brissett.
Yeah, I think so, too. Probably not trying to start him in this game, though. Johnson's the only pass catcher I feel really good about starting. And I'm with you on Freiermuth. Like, he's definitely a guy that is an answer at tight end in a landscape where there is just not a lot of answers. All right, that's going to do it for us, Dalton. What you got coming up this week for the people to check out besides your tears about Trey Lance and tears about your survivor pool as well?
Sit start column Friday. Also, my bust column comes out Thursday. But just thank you for letting me go through some therapy here. I appreciate it, Harmon. Thanks, man.
Hey, man, that's what we're here for, buddy. I'm sure... I hope for the best for Trey Lance and hope for the best for you, pal, and hope for the best for all you people out there in your fantasy teams as we head into week three. You can follow Dalton on Twitter at Dalton Del Don. You can follow me on Twitter at @MattHarmon_BYB. And while you're there, follow the @YahooFantasy account for jokes and fun through every NFL game. If you like the show, please, please leave us a 5-star review on whichever podcast platform you're listening on. It would go a long way to helping the show, especially as we're, in the thick of the season now at this point, with me, and Dalton and the boys having a ton of fun. If you don't like the show, again, tweet directly at me, give me your negative feedback, and we'll agree to disagree. Here's something exciting. The next episode of the podcast tomorrow, Tank Williams will join the show to help me preview the week 3 games. That's going to be absolutely electric. Until then, we are out.